Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
All right, we are going to dig into God's Word. So if you have your Bibles, whether it's a physical copy or a digital one on your phone, you can take that out and turn to Acts chapter 10. That is Acts chapter 10. And we're going to be looking at the entire chapter as a whole. And as you're looking for that, I'll give you a little bit of how to find it. Acts is a book in the New Testament towards the end. It is a book all about the Acts of the disciples or the apostles, depending on which translation you're in, everything they did after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension back into heaven. And so this book covers everything they did, all the different miracles they did, all of our early church history. I should have had this thing adjusted before I got up here. It was too low. And that's what happens when you don't prepare ahead of time. All right, let's try that again. Acts chapter 10. And like I said, we're going to be reading the chapter as a whole. We are going to be spending 3 weeks looking at Acts chapter 10, but these are going to be weeks that are not consecutive. It's going to be broken up between today, the end of July, middle of August. That's just how it worked out. So you're going to get Acts chapter 10 three times this summer, and today is our first go at it. So let's read this together, Acts chapter 10, the whole chapter. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together all his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said, "I am only a man myself." Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "Four days ago I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 p.m. Suddenly, a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea.' So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." Then Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. That's a long chapter. We just read a lot of stuff, and we're going to unpack it here in a few minutes. But let me begin by saying this. How many of you love to stay comfortable? Yeah. We all love to be comfortable, don't we? We like to have plush mattresses and pillows that are like certified by a chiropractor, like, oh, this is the good stuff. You're gonna have no back pain, no neck pain, like comfortable bed, comfortable pillows. How many of us have a Lazy Boy or like one of those reclining chairs in our home? Yeah, we love those things. We love to have the heated seats in our cars, right? We love to sleep in on a Saturday. Who loves to sleep in on a Saturday, right? Hot coffee in the morning, feel all perked up, ready to go. We love to be comfortable, amen? We love to feel physically comfortable. We also like to feel socially comfortable. If we are an extroverted type, we like to spend time with people, but typically it's with people that we already like. It's like, I like you, I want to spend time with you, and I'm going to spend all my time with the people that I like. And if you're the introverted type, maybe you just like to be home alone and just not associate with anybody, right? And feel totally disengaged. Either way, we feel comfortable being with the people we like or just not being with people at all, right? We like to be physically comfortable. We like to be socially comfortable. We also like to avoid discomfort at every chance we get. When our pillows get lumpy, what do? Buy new ones. When we're out in public and we have an opportunity to maybe have a conversation with a stranger, what do? Pull out my cell phone and just pretend I don't see them. Just totally avoid, right? We like to stay away from uncomfortable people, and we like to stay away from uncomfortable places. Now, here in this story that we just read, we see Peter go into a situation that is an uncomfortable place with some people who are probably uncomfortable for him to be with. Peter is a Jew, and he is one of the main leaders of the church at this time, and he's kind of high up there. And Cornelius, this other character we've read about, is a Gentile. And not only a Gentile, he's also a centurion, so he's like an enemy of the state of Israel. And so Peter and Cornelius are like the last two people who should ever be buddies, right? They just do not associate at all. And we see that in the text where Peter says to Cornelius, like, you know I shouldn't be here, right? I shouldn't be with you. It's kind of against our law. I shouldn't be associating with you. I shouldn't even be in your home. If I go in your home, I'm going to be unclean according to Jewish law and Jewish tradition. And so the Jews and the Gentiles, they did not associate. The second thing we got to keep in mind here is that at this point in church history, the Holy Spirit has only been poured out on the Jews. We see earlier in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit come and anoint all of the disciples and all of the people that are there after Peter preaches this big sermon. And so at this point in time, only Jewish people have the Holy Spirit. And something that's important about that, that we need to understand, is that having the Holy Spirit within us is the key or the evidence or the guarantee that we have salvation. If we go to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, this is what it says. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. And so, for someone to be considered saved, they need to have the Holy Spirit. And at this point in time, it's just been the Jews. It hasn't been poured out on anyone who is a Gentile. And praise God that this story is in the scriptures, because each one of us, unless you have Jewish background or heritage, we're not getting in, right? We need the Holy Spirit to get in. And so at this point, this is a huge turning point in church history, because now what God is doing is saying, it's time for the Gentiles to be let in. They are going to be blessed with the same Holy Spirit that I've been pouring out on the Jewish people from the day of Pentecost. Now, Peter gets this vision of these animals on a sheet. It comes down, and what God is saying through that vision is, the Gentiles are about to be let in. You got to be okay with this. And Peter has a choice to make. He can obey God's call and say, okay, I'm going to go see Cornelius. I'm going to do what you're telling me, God. Or I'm going to say, no, that's way too uncomfortable. That feels wrong. They are against us. They are our enemy. They are unclean. I'm not associating with them. You know what's amazing about this story too, is that when Peter gets this vision, he's in a city called Joppa. Anyone here familiar with the story of Jonah? Jonah was a prophet in the Old Testament that God called to go to the Ninevites and preach their repentance. And Jonah runs away to a city called Joppa and gets on a boat and tries to take off and flee from God. And now we have Peter in the same city being given a very similar call, being given a very similar decision to make, and we see him follow through like Jonah didn't. We see a redemption of that story. And so now we have Peter saying, yes, I'm on board. I am going to go to the uncomfortable places to preach this message that you have given me, God. And so Peter is obedient. He shows up. And I'm not supposed to be here, but it's okay. God said it was okay, kind of thing. And so he preaches the message. And Cornelius and all his people, they believe, and the Holy Spirit comes on them, and they're baptized in that very afternoon. Amen. Amen. Like, I want to see this for Amherst. Yes. I want to see people who, like Cornelius, they're seeking God, but they don't quite fully understand. They don't have all the details yet. and they might have a little bit of confusion about how this all works, but they're seeking after God, and they need people like us to be like Peter, to show up and say, yeah, I'm going to go to that uncomfortable place. I'm going to go to that uncomfortable person. I'm going to preach the word that you have given me, God, so that I can see my neighbors, my coworkers saved, full of the Holy Spirit, and even baptized on the same day. Can we see that happen here, do you think? I believe it. I absolutely believe it. So, this is our main point for the day. Obedient evangelism happens in uncomfortable places. Cornelius is a Gentile. It's uncomfortable for Peter to show up here and do the work that God's called him to do. There are uncomfortable places and uncomfortable people in our town. There are dark corners in our town, whether it's addiction, whether it's families that are separating and going through divorce and things like that, whether it's our homeless that are downtown, whatever it may be, there are these dark and uncomfortable places, and yet God has given us the calling, the responsibility, the light to shine in the darkness. He is calling us to go in these uncomfortable places and be obedient. Obedient evangelism happens in uncomfortable places. When I was a student at Bible college, I took a program. It was called Praxis. And our professor, his name was Mike, and he just wanted to be called Mike. He didn't want to be called Professor Mike. This type of program was he would take us to very dark areas and uncomfortable places throughout the Maritimes and throughout the world. We went on a trip to Halifax, and I can remember being in Halifax and being instructed, all right, we're going to go out and we're going to share our faith with people on the street. And I met a man who was doped up on coke and heroin and all this stuff, and trying to share the gospel with him. I remember being downtown Halifax, and we were outside of what I believe was a strip club up for drag queens, and we were outside sharing our faith and witnessing to drag queens. Mike took us to New York City, and we went to Harlem, which is the most dark part of New York with gangs and drugs and crime. We went to the red light district where there was prostitution, and we were sharing our faith with prostitutes and gang members and homeless and all these people who, for me, I would just call them sketchy and scary. Mike took us to different prisons, to Spring Hill and to Dorchester, and shared our faith with murderers. Mike took us to Haiti, and he took us to a hospital that was for people dying of AIDS and tuberculosis. And there we shared our faith for people who were dying. We shared our faith with children in villages who had zero clothes. Like, they were fully naked and they just had no clothes, and we were sharing our faith with them. Like, these were uncomfortable and dark places, and yet when Mike took us to these places, I felt God move in ways both through me and around me in ways that I haven't seen in other places a whole lot. Like, God moves very strongly in the uncomfortable places. But he does that through us and needs us to go there to be that light and be obedient to the call. Obedient evangelism happens in uncomfortable places. If I were to just, again, cast that vision for our town and say, who in your life, who on your street, who in our town is someone who you just know that you're just totally burdened for? And you look at their situation, you go, if only they knew. If only they knew about Jesus. Maybe their situation wouldn't be quite the way it is. And maybe God's been tugging on you to go, but maybe you're a little more like Jonah, not so much like Peter, where you're just like, I don't want to do it yet. Peter doesn't do that. He gets up and he goes, and there's like zero hesitation in him. Obedient evangelism happens in uncomfortable places. So, if we want to see this happen in our lives, if we were to apply this message, this is what we got to do. We got to do four things. Number one, we got to let go of the comforts that we're holding on to that are in the way of us being more obedient. That could be physical comforts, like maybe it's your lazy boy that's actually in the way. I don't know. Maybe it's something a little deeper than that, though. Maybe it's an idea of self-preservation. Maybe it's a fear. You're protecting yourself somehow. Whatever the comfort is that's holding you back from being more obedient with sharing your faith, you got to let that go. Number two, we got to see others the same way that God sees them. Do you think God looked at Cornelius and just went, oh man, he's so uncomfortable. I don't want anything to do with him. No. No. God doesn't look at the people we consider sketchy and scary and yucky and call them that. He says, no, that's a child of mine. They're just lost, and I want them to come home. Can you go help bring them home? Can you go share the message with them? We got to see other people the way God sees them. Peter says to Cornelius, God shows no favoritism. Right there in verse 34. God shows no favoritism. There's nobody in this town who is greater than or less than any one of us. Number three, we need to not call unclean what God has made clean. In this story, God has opened the door for the Gentiles to come in, the people who were the outsiders, the people who didn't belong. For Peter and for the Jewish people, they would look at them and just call them unclean. But God is saying, nope, that's done with now. There's no more division. There is no more favoritism. There's none of that. Stop labeling people as unclean. God wants to clean them. He is inviting them in, and he's using us to give that invitation. Stop labeling people as unclean when God has said, I will make them clean. And then lastly, like Peter, we have to obediently go to the uncomfortable places when God says go. There can be no hesitation. There can be no, oh, did God really say that? Or was that just something I thought of? Or, oh, like, I don't know if that's the safest thing to do. Oh, what will so-and-so think of me if I go and talk to that person? What will happen to my job? What will happen to my family? What will happen? That just gets in the way of progress. If God is burdening you with somebody or just some place where you got to go and share your faith, just do it. No hesitation. So, let go of the comforts. See others the same way God sees them. Stop calling and labeling people as unclean. And go when he says go. Because obedient evangelism happens in uncomfortable places.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.